I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Yo, guys, welcome to The Last Lap.
Don't forget to drop a lovely, juicy 5-star rating if you're watching an Apple Podcast or Spotify.
Hope you enjoy, and let's get into it.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Last Lap. Podcast, visual, YouTube people, audio only in your ears, wherever you choose to. Where do you typically take your podcasts in?
I'm a bit of an in-between. I'm a YouTube and Spotify man. Obviously, the viewers can find us at both. Give us a great rating on both as well.
Because sometimes I'll start listening to a podcast and then I'll be like, oh, actually, I think I need to watch this
one. Yeah, no, I do hear that. Yeah, I think there's some pods where you need that visual, you get me.
Especially if there's like, if I bring Minton on, which is not on today.
He's not on today, but we will make sure he's back again soon.
Oh, yeah.
Make sure that happens.
How you been, man? Good?
Yeah, not too bad. Excited, man. We've got actual Formula One cars getting revealed left, right, and center. We're here to talk about them today, sorry. But yeah, it's going good. What about you? How's life?
Good. Busy. I'm keeping myself busy. I've been very fortunate. Went Williams last week, was at McLaren on Monday.
He's touring, mate. He's doing them all.
That's it. I mean,
if you've got a car that he's revealing, somewhere will be there.
Yeah, right? If you own like a Hyundai dealership down the road,
get
me involved, you know, as long as you pay well.
Yeah, if you've got like a Ford Fiesta, it's about to get its MOT.
Once you get it back,
boom, he's there.
And they're in F1 now as well. So.
Yeah,
they're going to be imminently.
What, Ford Fiestas?
I mean,
don't feel like they're hitting the grade, to be honest with you, pace-wise.
You don't know. The technical regulations could change all over again, mate. Okay? You need indicators. You need ZTEC-S on the back of it.
You need indicators. F1 cars with indicators.
They want to bring underfloor lighting. And I swear, in like the old Need for Speed games, you can.
Yes, the little neon lights.
Yeah, man.
That would be cold. Imagine, because they did that for Las Vegas.
Yeah, exactly.
Little thing as well. Oh, imagine driving around Singapore, flipping, got your little green neon lights underneath the Mercedes. Jesus.
We can talk about these things because, you
know. Get nitrous in them as well.
Because we have creative flair.
Yes.
The F1 is lacking. So, Stefano, if you're watching.
If you could add one, like, stupid thing that's in a road car to a Formula One car, what would you add?
Oh, good question. That's a really good question. Okay, you...
Obviously, you don't have neon lights in a road car, but...
You know someone who... Right, you've got like an old... Like a KA, right? A first generation KA.
Yeah.
And they've got the little stick-on air vents... Like you put on the bonnet
to make it look
like there's cooling going into the engine.
Right.
But they're just stuck on.
Yeah, they ain't doing anything. They're just there for aesthetics.
Maybe that's what some of the teams are doing. Like, you know what you should do, right?
Yeah.
When you're launching a car, right? We've got a few more to go. We've got Mercedes Alpine.
Yeah, we have. Yeah.
Just stick loads of fake air vents on the car to throw everyone off.
Yeah, to make it think that you're doing, like, make everyone think that you're doing some mad aerodynamics.
Adrian Newey should do that because everyone copies Newey.
Yeah.
So he should just mess with everyone.
He turns up for the first Grand Prix of the season, just tears them all off. And he's like, and what?
And everyone's 5 seconds slow.
Yeah. Mine would be a glove compartment. Just the cool shit you could just have in an F1 glove compartment. Like, just keep yourself occupied whilst you're driving around.
Yeah.
And then, you know, just... get the air freshener dangling off the halo. Do you know what I mean? Like, you're sorted.
At times, Max was bored behind the wheel, seemingly last year.
1,000%.
So, and Charles Leclerc, when he had to hold on the rearview mirror.
Yes.
Just pop it in there, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Just rip it off, slap it in there.
A bit more secure.
Exactly. So there you go. Petitions put glove compartments in Formula One car. Sensational stuff.
But anyway.
Well, we've seen some of the 2023 Formula One cars this week. None of them, unfortunately, have a glove compartment, which is sad.
You never know. They could do.
Maybe they do underneath the hood. Who knows?
Could do. Should we start with... I think we'll start with the more recent ones.
Yes.
And we'll kind of go back.
We'll go backwards chronologically, all right.
So we'll start with Aston Martin, which you're kind of... That the greens changed slightly again this year.
Yeah.
I think from the renders anyway. We've seen the livery. It's fundamentally the same, which is going to be a theme because most of them are fundamentally the same.
Yeah. But it's just...
But what are we saying about the Aston?
I mean, it's there's a few little... I think the front wing is less green, isn't it, than it was last year.
But there's less of the fluoro green.
Yeah, that is about it, though, in terms of like the changes. Looks nice, though. The thing is, unfortunately, when it comes to liveries, we all want something that's like new and exciting. We all go, oh my God, when it's a new design.
Well, it's more interesting to talk about.
There's more to talk about because it's different to last year. But like ultimately, the Aston Martin livery is nice.
It's a banger.
It is nice. It's gotten a lot better since they first came in when they had like the pink for some reason, just chilling there for
that's
no reason.
So weird.
But like the sort of dark green, light green little highlights, that's nice. It looks nice. It looks like an Aston Martin should do.
Yeah. I think they've actually kind of simplified it a bit. They took some of the fluoro off of the fin at the back that they had last year. And balance-wise, I think it's great. And also, like, compared to a lot of the other teams, there's not crazy amount of carbon because everyone's complaining about exposed carbon. And I get it.
Yeah, to reduce weight, right? So you to reduce weight. As much paint on a car. Yeah.
Exactly. But also, you know, when you put a white sponsor on a black background, it stands out, like, having that maximum amount of contrast. So teams are always going to entertain doing that. But I think Aston, like, it's nice, metallic, bit of a change in colour, but, like, good sheen to it. It looks good, but also, the rumour mill appears to be quite positive towards Aston Martin at the moment.
Yeah, they think it's going to be an actual competitive car this year as well.
Like potentially up there with McLaren and Alpine. That's where I'm thinking that's going to be like that two is going to become a three in terms of best of the rest. That's kind of what I'm thinking right now. But do you think, is that just, are we just gassing it up for like no good reason? Or do you reckon, because tail end of last year, so second half of last year, they were comfortably, Aston Martin were comfortably ahead of the teams below them.
Yeah, thousands. Yeah, Alfa Romeos and Alfa Tauris.
And they weren't
stuff
that,
like that
far off McLaren and Alpine by the end.
No, I mean, I always remember the Austin race. You know, the actual points tally or points amount they could have got from that Grand Prix could have been absolutely mental. You had Lance Stroll and Vettel. I think they were fifth and sixth at one point, like throughout most of the first stint, or sixth and seventh. I'm pretty sure it's fifth and sixth.
Lance.
And then Lance decided that he was going to get a little bit too friendly with his future partner. He just wanted to, you know, just, you know, get up close and personal, show him that, you know, that they were going to be pals next season, you know, close friends, a bit too close.
Valentine's Day introduction.
Yes.
You know, it's Valentine's Day today.
Happy Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day. To my one true love, Tomo, by the way. See, you don't see that on the visual. You do see that on the visual. You don't see that on the audio only.
Exactly. If you wanted to see our
connecting, it was Bluetooth connection. Yeah. Then you get me. But yeah, look, listen. Back to Aston Martin for a second.
I'm blushing here.
Yeah. Well, take me out to dinner first. You know what I mean? No one's. I think there's definitely the potential there based off the performance from the end of last season.
Yeah,
you know,
it's sure,
a really cook on, Jesus Christ, to really kick on.
Cook on.
I mean,
they're cooking something in Aston Martin for sure.
Let him cook. Hold on, let them cook. Fernando Alonso's there. He's going to extract the most out of the car. Realistically, I just hope that they don't crash into each other on a regular basis, because Fernando was often not happy with Esteban Ocon's driving when it came to teammate versus teammate battles.
Yeah.
Lance has been a little bit hectic from time to time with that, especially last season, thinking of Brazil.
Fernando's already been throwing a bit of shade as well. Like,
has he?
His old team saying about how, like, obviously not naming names, but, you know, saying that our teams has been at the past that had success historically, kind of rested on their laurels a bit and were quite... quite content to kind of be in that best of the rest, which obviously they weren't, but I guess from a mentality point of view, a team like Aston Martin that, you know, was Force India, was Racing Point, has never, you know, excelled right at the very top,
yeah,
apart from, you know, that Checo win. I think it's one of them that you can understand there's probably a mentality difference. They're going into their new facility, which will be opening, I believe, later this year. I think then the wind tunnel will be ready the year after that. And they've got all this ex-Red Bull Mercedes personnel coming in, and obviously, you know, not stealing things from other teams, but you hire someone for their knowledge. They have knowledge of having worked with, you know, people like James Vowles and Adrian Newey, and not James Vowles, James Allison. Yeah. And, you know, I think that's all starting to come together now. So I think it's, I think Aston Martin are going to be right up there.
I think what I'll say is, in terms of like that sort of aspiration thing that Fernando was talking about, you know, with the sort of Racing Point, Force India, you get me, sort of timeline of a team, they've never really had the capacity. They've never had the funds really to be able to go and challenge and properly excel.
Yeah.
So I think they are, you know, potentially now that they've got that finance in, now they've got that money, that backing, you know, from Aston as well, they probably will show off the ambition that they've always had, and that'll hopefully match with his philosophy rather than, you know, an Alpine who maybe have rested on their laurels a bit before.
And I've always said, like, I think not only the fact that, I think the fact that Lawrence's son is in that seat, you know, he's invested in Aston Martin, the car maker, so making that team successful should have a positive knock-on effect to the car brand, but also it's family, as Dominic Toretto would say. It's in the family, right? So even if it stops making commercial sense, if it means that he's giving his son an opportunity,
yeah,
and just will keep pushing away it versus another brand that wouldn't necessarily stay on if the commercial viability, the marketing, the performance of the car, you know, is more likely to be more patient because he's his kid.
Yeah,
his
boy. Can I just say, I was talking about this on stream the other day, and for some reason this came up as a conversation. Never thought about this before, but it was like, for some reason people were talking about which footballer certain F1 drivers would be, like if it was transposed, right? And obviously Lance, you know, he's not going anywhere. Like Lawrence, his dad runs the team, innit? He ain't getting sacked anytime soon. And I feel like Lance Stroll is like a Victor Lindelof. You know that, like, he's not maybe the quality that he needs to be at Manchester United, but he's going to be there. He's not getting sold. Like, he's been there for a long time and he's going to remain there. Whereas Alonso is maybe like a Zlatan Ibrahimovic. Believes his own hype a lot.
What, so is
probably
Lindelof?
Should have won more during his career.
Yeah.
Than Zlatan. Like, Zlatan's kind of similar. Never won like a, you know, like an international tournament or whatever.
So what, is Lindelof like love child of one of the Glazers then or something?
I know. Yeah. He's biologically maybe doesn't come. I can't think of any manager son situations.
Yeah. Well, obviously Fernando's been saying, you know, I think, you know, Lance is world championship material.
I saw that, yeah.
Which, look, Lance is still young. He's still developing.
He's a good driver. He's got a good junior, what's it called?
Yeah, a good junior career.
Junior career as
obviously
well.
Helped by the finances. That does really help in junior formulas. But do I think his ceiling is, you know, that of, it's kind of, when you look at drivers like Leclerc, like Verstappen, like Hamilton, like Senna, like there has to be a degree of like just instinction that can't necessarily be learned. It just, you have to start so early and you just have it or you don't.
Yeah.
I think that's the same with sports people across the board. And I just don't think Lance has that necessarily.
Yeah, no, I think that's not a, that's not a detraction from his ability. It's more just like, if you want to win a Formula One World Championship, you have to be unbelievable.
I think this is his seventh season in F1.
Yeah.
This will be his seventh season.
Yeah, so he started in 2016 or was it 2017?
2017 was his first
Williams.
Season.
Yeah.
So experience-wise, like that's a good career. Like,
yeah.
Some people like don't even have that.
Do not
like,
make not it even that close. Far. Yeah, exactly. And I think he's earned making it that far. Yeah. Don't get it twisted.
I just think his development over that time
has been
there, but it's not been to the extent of, you know, the improvement we like when Sebastian Vettel came into the sport
and just
was right up. So
yeah,
I think there's a solid base there as long as they can keep it you know, obviously there's a lot of meme-worthy stuff with, you know, Fernando, his exploits with Esteban and Lance not necessarily always being the most most harmonious teammate with Sebastian during their time together. So that'll be interesting to see. But I think they'll keep it. I think Fernando will, even if he has to bite his tongue, I think he will, because this is Fernando's... This has to be his last role with the Dice, surely.
Yeah, you would imagine.
Surely.
Yeah, because, I mean, where else does he go after that as well? Obviously, just from a perspective of, like, we're getting towards the end of the Fernando Alonso era just anyway. So there's
you think?
I mean, you don't know. I mean, he might be here till he's, like, 57
He's 41 now, and, when a driver gets into their mid-30s, that's typically when there's an acceptance that, oh, you might retire soon.
Yeah.
Seb retired at 35, and it's like... It's so impressive, the longevity, and I just really hope that Aston can give him that car, because as much as I think Fernando's, you know, he splits opinion and you either love him or hate him, and I've really kind of, I didn't used to be a big fan of Fernando at all, but I think since he returned to the sport particularly, I've just like, I don't know, I've just really like changed my view on him massively.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like really fond of this Fernando, and I think he really deserves another shot at a championship. Yeah. And I hope Aston Martin can give that to him.
That would be amazing. Could you imagine? Because I for one just want to see Lance Stroll in a title fight as well. That's another thing. I just want to see what the hell would happen.
No, you know what I want to see? Right, when they win a race. I'm saying when, not if.
Wow.
When. Lawrence is up there on the podium. You know, when they bring up a person like Lawrence is going to be straight up there.
1,000% he's there. Even if they finish fourth in the race.
Two bottles of champagne just going to both at the same time. He can afford it. I'm not being funny.
Third one, smash it on the floor like the Lando one.
Yeah.
Spray that around.
That'd be fun.
Shirt off.
Love that. Spinning it. Oh, that would be good. But I think the challenge for Aston Martin is to break into that Alpine McLaren kind of midfield. So let's talk about McLaren.
Mm-hmm, indeed.
Launch I went to. It's really good fun.
Yeah. Talk to us. What are the nitty gritty details?
Yeah, no. Went up early doors. They didn't have my name on the list, so I was like,
I've driven
all this way and they're not going to let me in. But they did let me in. Just a little bit of, you know, went into the MTC, a little bit of schmoozing, showed us the car.
How did it drive? I'm guessing they gave you a little...
Yeah, it was a bit sharp on the front end for my liking, you know?
Right, okay. Yeah,
I prefer a more understeery balance.
right, okay. With
my F1 cars.
Yeah.
Well. That I have many of.
many experiences of driving.
In the F1 game. It was really good. The way they kind of managed it, they had a lot of fans there as well, which is nice.
Mm-hmm, nice.
It wasn't just kind of influencers and wankers like me. it was great. And yeah, got to see the car fairly up close. They didn't let us too close, actually, which is a bit disappointing.
Yeah.
We were like, stand behind this line. You're not allowed to get within like a good 30 feet of the car.
So, really?
Yeah, I couldn't get any up close and personal.
I want to see some up close shots of the stickers, the grill stickers.
Exactly. I should have slapped some on. I wouldn't have noticed. I brought these with me. I think the car is, again, it's one of them that the knee-jerk reaction is, oh, it's the same.
Mm.
Well, yeah, fundamentally it's the same. Delivery has to change to accommodate the new shape of the side pods and the new aero design. But I like it. They've got the papaya. It's not orange. I was told off for calling it orange.
Yeah, you can't call it orange. It papaya. Has to be papaya.
Yeah, they're very hot on that.
Yeah.
Grapefruit,
but it's orange.
And they don't need loads of it on the car for it to stand out.
Yeah, no, exactly.
I like it. I don't have a massive, strong opinion on it, but
yeah,
I think
the car evolved a lot during last season and it kind of looks similar to the end of Evolution. I remember seeing like a comparison delivery between 2020, the start... The launch for 2022 and the launch for 2023 and being like, oh my God, it's changed loads. But obviously, like, it just developed quite a lot during the course of last season with new sponsors and stuff like that and the chrome stuff. But again, similar to the Aston Martin, I like it. I'll be honest. I've not paid to say that. I do hate the IndyCar livery for McLaren. Stinker. One they did where it had the brown on for no reason, or the green or whatever it was.
Yeah, that was a... Yeah, I think...
Stinker.
They do... Use too much blue on the Indian livery, I think.
Yeah.
I actually prefer no blue.
Yeah,
just give us orange
like
and black.
Papaya and black.
So it's just not on brand.
We're never going to get Lando on the podcast.
I know, never. McLaren management. So you call it fucking papaya. You're not coming on. I rate it, to be honest with you. It's not too bad. It looks like a nice car. Would 5 out of 5 stars, would drive if it was offered to me, to be honest with you.
We had a parallel parking it though.
Yeah, it's a bit wide, isn't it, to be honest with you. We had Oscar there for the first time, Oscar Piastri.
Yep.
Arriving on the scene, his little intro at the start of the or during the YouTube stream. Looked wavy, not gonna lie.
Bless him, yeah.
No, it looks like two little children, him and Lando.
They do look so young, don't they?
I know. I feel like Oscar might actually be like 12 and they've just lied to us about his like documentation the whole time.
Yeah, no, they're, you know, Oscar's 21.
They both get ID'd for a Red Bull. I'm telling you for fact.
Oh, for sure.
They both definitely do.
Absolutely.
1,000,000%. And paracetamol. They get ID'd for
Did we talk about that before? I saw people in the comments were like shocked that in the UK you get ID'd for a Red Bull.
Yeah. You do. Yeah. It's crazy. I have been and I have a beard. It's outrageous.
I prefer Rich Energy, so.
Yeah. If you can find it somewhere on the dark web, realistically, to order it from.
The dark web corner shop.
It was quite a grand reveal, it felt, or like a lot of thought and, you know, time.
I think the way they kind of planned it out, like it wasn't too long, it wasn't too short. You got insight from the drivers.
Yeah.
You saw the car relatively quickly.
Yeah.
I think they balanced it quite well. You had Vicstar presenting as well.
The main man, Vicstar 123.
We need to try and get him on.
Yeah, that would be gas, actually.
Because he is actually into his F1.
Yeah, he is, yeah. He's been into
obviously
it for a while,
him and Josh. He's got a huge profile, so bringing him on, you know, that's obviously going to... It makes sense for McLaren to do
that. Yeah, exactly.
Exposing, you know, it's the
same
reason...
He's done video content as well with Lando and stuff like that. Like,
exactly.
It makes sense.
There's a pre-existing relationship there.
Yeah, exactly. I was half expecting him to start DJing halfway through, to be honest.
Mate, they missed a trick.
They missed a trick, man. Could you imagine? The car comes on, DJ Vic's just there with his headphones on.
Lando loves DJing as well.
They could have gone back to back.
Maybe Oscar could do it as well.
Hype man. Yeah.
And then them two on the decks.
Oh, mate, if he still had Daniel Ricciardo, he'd have given it a go as well, realistically.
Oh, of course he would. He'd be singing.
He'd have ridden on with a horse onto the reveal with a papaya painted horse. Rides on as everyone's DJing. I'm not going to lie, lads. That would have been a sick reveal.
Mate, you're like, you're missing a career in creative direction.
Get me involved, lads. Make it happen. Because I could do a madness here.
You need to have a word with Lando.
Yeah, DJ Vic, DJ Lando.
Yeah, they got Vic on. Did a good job.
Yeah,
and
did well.
With Varianna as well. And yeah, no, it was a good launch. I was looking out I couldn't see myself in the... I was more towards the back.
Oh, sad times.
I was sat with Lucas Blakely. Big up Lucas, F1 Esports.
Did you get any
champion.
Free food whilst you were there?
I didn't get any free food.
Wouldn't have that.
No.
Would not have it personally.
I did get a Coca-Cola. Because they are sponsored by Coca-Cola. We're not sponsored by Coca-Cola.
Again, there's some space right here down the front.
Right there.
If you do want to make that.
Prime
happen.
Real estate.
Yeah, or Prime, actually. Yeah, Prime.
Oh, Prime.
Well. Yeah, yeah,
it's
yeah.
True.
Make that happen. Yeah. Make that happen as well. But yeah, no, looks unreal. Look like a career. The only thing I would say about the McLaren launch is they seem a little bit pessimistic about the car. I feel like every answer, like we talked about it before. What team was it? Was it Alfa Romeo? You seem pessimistic before, or was it McLaren? Because it's almost these like sorts of, yeah, we don't think the car is like too disastrous. And it's kind of like, well, the fact that you're saying disastrous in the first place is a bad sign.
Yeah.
Some of the questions yesterday were sort of like, I feel like were answered in a way of like...
Like we're not 100% happy with the car.
Yeah, we know where we stand in it and you're not going to like it. As much, maybe,
yeah,
as you would
by the end of the season, we'll be here.
But, yeah, it just
which doesn't inspire confidence.
Yeah.
But
really.
I mean, I guess it's kind of, you know, if you were in that position, right, you're going into a new season, even if you think you've got a good package, is it in your best interest to, you know, gash yourself up?
To show off that package.
Or do you just play down expectations?
You probably know. You probably do.
Verbal sandbagging.
Verbal sandbagging. Yeah, ultimately, you probably do. You know, Mercedes have always done this. They've never come out, you know, during the the hybrid era. They never came out and went, oh yeah, fucking hell, this is a rocket ship, lads. You know what I mean? Like, they never
this
did
championship's
that.
Championship's done. Yeah, everyone go
wrap.
Home.
It's a no wrap, point. Boys. See you first Grand Prix of the season. We're winning it all, boys. Like, they never really did that. So I do hear that they will want to try and, you know, ease expectations, make sure there's not a huge amount of pressure on people going into, you know, into Tested and stuff like that. But yeah, just a little bit of optimism. A bit more optimism than we got would have been nice, I think.
Yeah, they could have just said, like, we'll see.
Yeah. But we're really happy with how the car looks right now, but, you know, we'll obviously see and test it. Well, even that's calm. You know, if you're, I want you to be happy. You made it. I want you to be happy with it.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Then fine. I wasn't there.
Like, imagine you go to a restaurant and, like, your meal's served and the chef is like, not my best work.
That's all right, lads. I'll see what you make of it, but could have probably gone better, to be honest with you.
I was like, oh, thank you.
Probably a bit undercooked,
no,
but, you know,
you.
We move.
I don't know. But I was talking about this a bit. I remember last season, actually, I was a little bit concerned. I guess just McLaren's trajectory. Obviously, they finished third in the Constructors in 2020 when Ferrari kind of fell off.
Mm-hmm.
And then to fourth, now to fifth last year.
Mm-hmm.
With Aston Martin, and again, I feel like they're looking really strong, and you can make compelling arguments, I think, for any of those teams that were in the bottom half last year.
Yeah, improving.
For stepping up. And it does make me worry that, I don't know. And, you know, Andreas Seidel's left, and I was a huge fan of Andreas. I think he was fantastic. I mean, and Andreas Stella's embedded in the team. I hope he does a good job. But, yeah, the new wind tunnel still hasn't come yet. It still feels like we need to be waiting a little bit longer, and I don't know if, I mean, I hope that, because, you know, I've got a lot of love for McLaren, and I hope Lando and Oscar give it the time and they continue to deliver incredible results, but they need to, like, we know Lando needs to be, he can do it. We know he can do it. He needs to be fine at the front.
Yeah.
Especially like George is, his old mate George there, you know, when George was in the Williams. And now it's like role reversal. Even Alex got a shot at Red Bull and got a shot at, you know, podiums in a top car.
Yeah, I think if you're McLaren, you've got one of the most, probably the most exciting young driver lineup on the grid.
Like, if this is
definitely,
if, like, this is FIFA, and you're looking like potential.
Yeah, they've both got like 93 like,
and in like
potential.
5 years time. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's Mbappe and Haaland in the same
exactly.
team.
Yeah, 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 yeah. So you know, like, you're maybe, you're mid-table right now. You're 11th in the Prem, but you know that in five seasons you're winning the Champions League, right? But you have to provide the rest of the team around them. You can't just have the good potential front line.
Because then someone will come and nick them.
Someone will nab them. PSG will come knocking and buy them. Not in this situation. PSG won't buy Oscar Piastri, but you know what I'm saying. If they don't provide a package, I feel, that's going to actually challenge at the very least for race wins in the next 2 years... Certainly three. Lando's got to be looking and going like, oh, you know, I want to be winning races here, Chiefs.
Yeah.
So I'm optimistic though. I'm an optimistic McLaren man, and I believe that they can, you know, stop.
I want to be optimistic, but I'm worried. And it's not even so much it's just because I think there's reason to be excited about so many of these teams now, because I think that cost cap is going to start to level the field. And like, you need to kind of strike on your advantage. And obviously look at like Ferrari, how they started last year.
Yeah.
Quickest package. And arguably over the course of the season, even especially in qualifying trim.
Yeah.
Quickest car all season.
Yeah.
They were actually the first launch. They were this morning.
Yes.
Did you watch the launch?
I did not know. No, I'm sorry. Was it too early for me? Unfortunately, too early for your boy.
You're exposing yourself.
Yeah, I am. I really am.
It was, you know what? It was a really, I'd actually argue it was you missed the best launch.
Oh, I've watched so many shitters.
Yeah. it was a bit waffly at the start, but typically they had Charles and Carlos on screen a lot. They had a bunch of fans there. We saw the car and then they actually put the car on track because
I did see that.
Fiorano, the tested circuit.
Yeah.
And that's brave.
Yeah.
Like, that car pops out. Oh, heads are turning.
Could you imagine, like, Charles just like starts it on and just like just dies. It's like
it's brace.
Slow button on.
We are checking.
That's all you hear.
Well, they can only do 15 kilometers because anything like there's certain, obviously testing's so restricted.
Yeah.
It's like for a filming day, it was like 15 kilometers, but no, it's brave of Ferrari to.
It really is. I respect that. I respect the balls for them to do that, to be honest with you. That's a big ball play from Ferrari.
And I guess Fred is the person signing that off, I imagine.
Although,
no, it's probably senior Ferrari personnel, isn't it? Let's be honest. Everyone's really in charge there. But I just think that's the fact that they've done that sits well with me.
Yeah.
And gives, because I'm
not confident in the car, obviously in terms of like mechanically, but also like other teams could go, oh, we can take a look at that.
Yeah.
Like just straight off the bat, like just, you know, analyze the car, boom, it's just there, you know, ready for people to take a look at. Obviously, I know Haas did a little bit of running as well that we saw like pictures from, but to just go, right, cool, here's our car, lads, make it out what you will. That's quite it's quite bold. Well, I like that.
Because it does feel like, you know, all the other eight teams, apart from Ferrari and Haas, have gone down one route. And then Ferrari have kind of stuck with their, you know, alternative take, I guess. Mm-hmm. There's a bit more of an undercut now. So I think maybe it's kind of, there's some kind of hybrid. Again, you feel like eventually there will be a known best way.
Yeah, sort of almost default car that's like kind of, this is the model. Make some tweaks around it, sort of thing.
But it's the kind of exploration phase at the minute.
I'm so interested to see what the Mercedes looks like as well.
Yeah, man. That's going
to
be really...
That's the big one, because that was so, like, completely different to everything else last year.
Yeah, I think... I don't know, man. Do you reckon they'll keep... We're not going to be able to talk about Mercedes until next week, so...
One side pod on one side, and then the no side pod on the other.
Oh, is it?
Balance
like,
it
like
out.
Like NASCAR, when the cars are, like... asymmetrical.
Yeah. 1,000. Yeah. Which obviously doesn't really work because there's both left and right handers in F1. So
that'd be fine around Monza.
Yeah.
Just straight
the old
line
way
over
out. Yeah. So I'm looking forward
that'd
to
be
that.
Interesting to see.
But no interpretive dance though in the Ferrari launch.
No, you know
time,
what?
Which is sad. Because I remember that.
Yeah, that was in Florence, wasn't it? It was actually mad. I can't believe they did that. That was actually... And they were dressed in the overalls, weren't they, as well?
Yeah. Was that 2020 or 2021?
Oh,
might have even been earlier.
I think I was 19.
Flipping it.
Yeah, because like the pandemic wouldn't have like... They wouldn't have had people running around.
They weren't wearing
masks. So that was 2019 for sure. Because they went to Mugello, didn't they?
Yeah.
And I remember that was the anniversary.
Yeah, that was wild.
Yeah, I think Ferrari... You know what? I think one thing is like it's quite easy... Because of all of the strategy, you know, fuck-ups last year, and it's easy to meme on Ferrari. And Red Bull doing so well, this assumption that Mercedes are going to get, and again, second half of the year, Mercedes outscored Ferrari by 27 points if you only count the last 11 races.
Yeah, that's wild.
And are we writing off Ferrari wrongly, I guess? Because it's easy to not have faith in Ferrari, but... They had the quickest car last year in qualifying trim anyway.
Yeah.
And fundamentally, if they can, and they've got the driver lineup as well. I think Charles is incredible. I think Carlos is right up there close to him
solid.
As well.
Yeah.
So it's just like little bits of strategy and a little bit of reliability and they're there, aren't they?
I mean, yeah, it could have been like a much more different, a much better end to the season for Ferrari realistically with some... actual good strategic decisions and also a lack of bad luck. You know, even Carlos grabbing pole at COTA, then getting wiped out by George at the start.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Even stuff like that, that's like 25 points gone. That's almost what Mercedes should beat them by. In fact, with that swing, it probably would have gone back the other way.
Yeah.
So,
true.
It's, they definitely got the pace, you know, that, as you said, the qualifying trim of the car, very, very strong. They just always seem to suffer race day in comparison to Red Bull, especially.
It's hard to have faith from the unreliability you think will come with time.
Yeah. And it can as well. Cause it's reliability that can obviously they can improve upon.
And it's how much does Fred Vasseur actually fix, I guess.
Yeah.
Because I don't know, you look at Fred's career and he was, what was he? He was in GP2, I think, before.
Was the ART, Don?
Yeah. So he started ART.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was briefly at Renault for like 1 year.
Yeah.
And then he moved to Alfa Romeo Sauber. And I mean, looking at Alfa Romeo Sauber over those years, I can't get particularly excited about what like the performance is.
Yeah.
Like, they were at the back of the field
just
the whole time.
Most of the time, really.
Obviously, how much of that is like a lack of resource, a lack of, you know, it's always difficult to really judge.
Yeah.
But I just feel like, obviously, Jean Todt, Frenchman, mm-hmm. at the helm, did yep. bits.
Yeah.
Can Fred pick up and carry on that baton?
Yeah.
Hopefully, because I think...
I like that, because a small baguette is a baton. So, yeah, that's good.
See what
that's
I did
good.
There?
That's really good.
Allez, like le bleu.
Gilly, gilly.
No, we've still got to wait for the true Allez, le bleu team. Alpine, they're the last
one. Yeah, true. I just want them to come out with a full French livery. Just fuck it. Sack off the BWT.
Nice.
Get that out of there. Apart from like one like pink...
Just Killian's just like that in front of me.
Yeah. And then Carlos just lifted up the curtain. He's just there. Just there, just chilling.
Boom. That'd be sick.
Yeah.
Like, didn't they get Esteban to do the Ballon d'Or, didn't they?
Yeah. He was there for the Ballon d'Or.
So
just
return the favour.
I was going to say, yeah. But at the very least, Benzema. Like, surely you could call someone. Do you know what I mean?
That'd be great.
Just call a French footballer. Giroud.
Any of them. Yeah, in fact, Giroud would be bang up for it. Bang up for it. He'd be well up for it. And then one other team that kind of shares its Italianness with Ferrari, AlphaTauri.
Mm-hmm.
They launched at New York Fashion Week on Saturday.
Fashion brand, Fashion Week.
Did you watch the live stream live?
I did not know. I had to.
Or it was like a premiere video.
A rerun of it. Yeah, I watched a rerun.
Very odd because, again, watching live, there's this anticipation. Like you got, they release a video and quite quickly, you're like, oh, they're going to show everything.
Yeah.
And they show one angle of Yuki and Nick stood in front of it and a few models behind, modeling the... And then it just ends.
Yeah.
And there was no like...
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Like, you were expecting to go live into the fashion show.
Yeah. Or some into, like, some... But just was... no content, yeah.
And then we had to wait, like, a good 5-10 minutes for the renders to come out.
Yeah.
Which is really odd. Like, a really...
I'm going to look at the car again.
Strange way of doing it.
I remember it, but I just want to really, really remind myself of how much I disliked it.
So you know... No, right, so... The red is the controversial part of it. Of course,
yeah.
Orlan coming in as sponsor late on. And I think you can see that I feel like they have shoehorned in. I feel like that was a deal. They already had the livery and then they were like, oh, Orlan want to turn up and they want to be red. Kind of like BWC pink.
It's always
been a thing. So I think the implementation isn't the best, but I don't fundamentally have an issue with the red being on the car.
I actually don't have a problem with it having some red on.
No.
I just, yeah, I think it's a little bit sloppy. Yeah, I just don't know. Like, it's also like, it's like the car's split up into like three different parts.
Mm-hmm.
You got the front, which is just like a white nose cone.
yeah,
just kind of turns into a red halo.
Yeah.
And then the rest is just blue around.
Mm.
So it doesn't really feel like anything's like nicely connected together.
Yeah.
It's quite a disconnected sort of livery. Boom, boom, boom.
You can definitely, like, in terms of flow, it definitely doesn't flow.
Mm.
It's obviously
not helped by the red. I think if you were going to do the white nose cone into just everything else is blue,
yeah,
you can't have the red on it.
See, so from most angles, from like perspective angle, from side on, quite like it.
Sorry about that.
I actually like it.
How was that so loud?
No, but the bang front on angle is honestly, I can't even think. It's so bad.
It's awful. That's
from the front on.
Shocker.
It's all because it got the long white nose. You got the black front wing, but then navy, black and navy.
Oh, like, God, I didn't even clock that.
It's like, and then you've got the random bits of red, and the halo red is the worst part of it.
That's
the most jarring implementation of the red,
yeah,
for sure.
Again.
That front angle should be burnt. It's awful.
That is a stinker. Like, it's I'm not going to lie, that honks.
And we've seen actually earlier this morning, they did a test run of their car as well,
yeah,
just after Ferrari.
Yeah.
And it does look like that from the front. It also honks.
It just looks bad overall.
In real life.
Yeah, you're right. The black and navy, obviously with the lights right now, I didn't actually clock that.
Mm.
But then looking a bit deeper, yeah, that is a horror story. And the red halo is a shocker.
I'm split because from some angles, most angles, I think it's nice, but that is just, it's hard to forgive that, you know?
Yeah.
I don't think I can move on from
When Martin Brundle's doing his grid walk and he comes up to the front of that car, I'm going to go, oh, Jesus, turn the channel over. Get it out of it. That, you know what that looks like though?
What?
That looks like a car that's going to struggle. Do you know what I'm saying? It doesn't look like a quick car.
I do.
And I have absolutely no logic to apply to this situation.
No,
right?
I know what you mean.
But you know when the Ferrari came out last year and we were like, that looks quick.
Literally. Everyone. Like,
and it was.
You acted like you got a bachelor's in it, mechanical engineering. Like,
yeah,
everyone's
like,
oh, yeah, that looks quick. Yeah,
from the fact that it looked sexy.
I reckon the air flows over that bit. Lovely. Like, oh, shut up. You don't know what you're talking about, man. I don't know what I'm talking about. And I don't claim to. I'm just waffling. That's all I'm here for.
No, I agree.
It looks like it won't be competitive.
Yeah. I honestly cannot explain it at all. But when was the last time you saw an absolutely unbelievable looking car be shit?
Mm. That's a good point.
We're talking Orange Arrows days. That was the last time I saw a nice car look shit.
Well, that MTV livery.
Yeah.
That was a bit of a
Leng. Terrible car.
It's always the bat. Not a great car.
Yeah, but
AlphaTauri is a weird one, isn't it? Because there were times in 2021 where that was the third quickest car.
Yeah.
Mm. Like for certain races, Pierre Gasly putting it top six, like almost every qualifying session.
True.
And I don't know, man. Like, it's ninth last year, so behind Haas. Had a stronger end to the season than Haas, but still, you wonder, oh, have they consolidated? Blah, blah, blah. Also, Haas share, which I thought was really interesting, actually. Haas share a lot more with Ferrari, mm-hmm, in terms of they take a lot more bits that they can from Ferrari.
Yep.
AlphaTauri actually just don't take that anywhere near as much from Red Bull as they could.
Right, okay.
They choose to design their own stuff.
Right.
For example, I think it's like gearbox casing, for example. They could just buy it from Red Bull, but they design their own one. And it's like, yeah, but Red Bull are literally the team.
They are like the
best. So it does seem a bit odd.
And you are linked to them. Like, you could do that.
That link. Like, because you can certainly argue, right, that like it shouldn't be allowed one company to own two teams, and there's always going to be crossover because you've got engine supplier deals, and it's difficult. It's a grey area, right?
Yeah.
I get that, but if you've got that connection, I just don't understand beyond. I mean, pessimistically, ego and wanting to do it yourself.
Yeah,
like why you wouldn't exploit that when the big brother team, the big sister team, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
Is at the top.
Is winning the Constructors' Championship. Surely he'd be like, lads, give us...
You'd think so.
Give us a little bit of...
Especially where they're struggling.
Yeah.
So, or at least struggled last year. Because, again, even their car in 2020, 2021 was really strong with Pierre at the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
It was like they got to a good place and then they just took a massive step back in these new regulations.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas like, but they're part of Red Bull.
Yeah. And how Red Bull can you take it? It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. Also, I think I just want AlphaTauri. Like, I know it sounds really bad because there's been like a lot of memories of Toro Rosso and...
Yeah, of course.
But I just kind of just want someone to come in and go, let's just buy AlphaTauri now.
I'd love Honda to come in and buy that team.
Yeah. Just make it Honda Racing. Boom. Let's just do something cool with it. Because I feel like it's going to go out sad if we don't.
Tsunoda at the helm.
Yes. Yeah. And Iwasa as well.
I did my predictions
for
next year and I did Iwasa.
Because he Tsunoda. Was strong at the he end was. Of last season.
Yeah, yeah. He was. He was very strong. Rookie year as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Rookie. What do we think? Obviously, we all know that, you know, Valentine's Day, your second love.
Mm-hmm. Yuki Tsunoda.
After me.
Yes.
That means your missus is third.
Yeah, yeah, my missus is third. I think she'll understand. She'll see Yuki Tsunoda and she'll understand.
Yeah, fair enough.
So,
what do we think, though? Because I've got a lot of love for you. Like, he's one of my favourite drivers for sure.
Yeah.
It's going to be tough for him. It's going to be tough for Nyck de Vries as well, because I think there is a degree of expectation as Formula E champion.
Yeah, yeah,
as,
of course.
You know, he came in the same generation up as Russell and Norris and Albon.
Yeah, yeah.
What do we think?
I'm a little bit concerned. Just from the sense of, like, if Yuki doesn't beat Nyck de Vries or gets beat quite convincingly, I think that's probably a wrap. Unless Honda come in, buy the team and go, boom, we want Yuki. But even still, you've got Iwasa there, who's, unless they want to go for an all Japanese team, which they could do, but Honda never did that when they were in Formula One in the past. So they had one representative, obviously, in Takuma Sato, but it didn't go, oh, we're an all Japanese team, we're going to have an all Japanese lineup.
Mm.
If they looked at Iwasa, if Iwasa won F2, for example, this season, and they just went, boom, yeah, cool, he's cold. Off the back of Yuki getting, you know, beaten by, there's a lot of ifs and buts in that sentence, but if that was to happen, then yeah, I'd be a bit concerned. If AlphaTauri continued to exist next season and Nyck de Vries beats him convincingly, then yeah, I'd also be concerned again.
I just think that Yuki has to beat Nyck this year.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I think he's out of F1.
He has definitely improved. It's just, it's like what we were talking about with Stroll earlier. It's the level of improvement needed in Formula One for longevity has to be high.
Mm.
Like, you can't get better incrementally like that. You have to, there has to be like debut season where it's like, cool, you know, if you make mistakes, you make mistakes, whatever.
Yeah.
But in the second season, you have to show, right, cool, I've ironed out most of those and I've improved in pace as well. You know, with Mick Schumacher, we still saw the same mistake, so that's why he's not here anymore.
I mean, you got to look, Silverstone when he took out Pierre, and obviously Canada were big errors. I think we saw Yuki's pace for sure develop massively because he was much closer to Pierre. Still behind Pierre,
but closer to Pierre. Yeah, we rate Pierre very highly.
Exactly. So, it's all relative, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But this is why, like, this third season, he needs to iron out those creases in his performances, but also, like, Nyck de Vries is a rookie still.
Yeah.
So it is a learning curve for him. Yuki is the established driver of that team.
Yeah.
I think as much as I believe Yuki has the ability in him to be a solid, consistent F1 driver on a performance basis. But if he doesn't beat Nyck de Vries this year, I just think that puts too much uncertainty. You want to be like getting into your third year. Like, Lando's talked about this. Alex Albon's talked about this, about kind of feeling like you've become a team leader now.
You need
to kind of steer that car and you need to kind of command that confidence in you. And I think, especially those mistakes, it's just like, I really hope.
And the bad news for him is that there's about 17 junior drivers in Red Bull.
That's what I mean, man.
So it's not like when he first joined and it was like, you know, you had Liam Lawson kind of chilling there, and I think maybe Vips as well. But they weren't really doing enough. And Tsunoda was like, you know, quite easily, okay, cool, we'll choose him. There's a lot of Red Bull juniors now.
You've still got Lawson, you got Maloney, you got Fittipaldi, you got Hauger, you got Iwasa.
Yeah. Is Daruvala still there?
Daruvala, he's still there. There's Zach Crawford as well.
Yeah,
he's in F2 as well.
Yeah, does the kid who was in F3, is he French?
What, Victor Mata?
No, Hajak.
Oh,
Hajar.
Yes.
Hajar.
We've just named like 7 or 8.
Yeah.
That's pretty good knowledge, to be fair.
Yeah, oh,
we've done well.
Real knowledge.
We've done well.
We've ruined it. Ruined it. See, why did you. Oh, flipping neck, man.
Why did you that? We always spud, man.
Yeah, that is true.
That's what I mean. Man. See, if you weren't watching, if you're listening only, you've missed.
Yeah, yeah. I grabbed his fist, basically, is what happened. That's what happened. We ruined the wheel knowledge with poor fist knowledge. No, that's crazy. I can't say that. Anyway, look, listen, moral of the story, Tsunoda, fix up.
You can't say you crack. Oh my god, I've never. You're gonna have to carry on.
All right, okay. So, next up, Tomo and Niren actually complete a spud. Next up on the show.
Right.
We've got this. We can compose ourselves, don't worry.
I'm fine.
We've got this.
We've noted down. As we've covered, there's a couple of other. There's some notes here, but something I actually wanted to talk about. And I don't think we've spoke. Have we spoke of this? I think because we've got Mick Schumacher reserve at Mercedes.
Yes, now. Yeah. He's chilling there.
But there was actually quite an interesting clip. Jules Russell talking about Mick coming in at the team and how important the sim. Sorry. Mick coming in at the team and like basically just being all in, locked in the simulator.
Mm-hmm.
I think that actually Mick Schumacher is doing a good job in the same way that Daniel Ricciardo is putting himself kind of front and center.
Yeah.
In the minds of people, right? Keeping presence in. I expect to see Daniel and I expect to see Mick a lot in the paddock.
Yeah.
But do you think Mick will get that opportunity back? Because obviously he'll have value to Mercedes as a reserve. And in the same way that you've obviously got that Red Bull Ricciardo connection will help from a marketing point of view. You know, they're going to use Daniel a lot for that kind of stuff this year. But you could also argue maybe, you know, Mercedes would do the same. Obviously, that Schumacher name is so connected to Mercedes.
It is, yeah, to be fair. And because, like, the one worry I have with Mick is getting locked into that sort of Mercedes family of, like, because we had it with Stoffel, right?
Yeah,
so we had it with Stoffel and it was kind of like, okay, cool. 100%. Right, you're linked to us, you're a test driver, but kind of need a Formula E driver
and
right
kind of
now,
De Vries
bro,
as well, that kind of.
And kind of De Vries
well.
As well, so.
But he did get a shot eventually.
There's still a Mercedes team, obviously in Formula E, right? I'm so out of the loop Formula E.
No, so it's now McLaren.
Oh, is
so
it?
McLaren
is it?
McLaren bought the Mercedes team, so it's now McLaren. Yeah.
Oh, mad. Okay. Well, I mean, maybe there's not that risk anymore. I guess. Yeah. But I would just be a little bit concerned with the Mercedes would maybe go right. Cool. You're our test driver. Boom. Go and do this. That's outside of Formula One, or go and do that. That's outside of Formula One. I think Daniel has a much bigger chance of sticking around the paddock and getting a seat next year because he's Daniel Ricciardo in terms of just like actual ability.
Mm.
We know what Daniel Ricciardo offers when he's in the car that suits him the most. And again, he has that marketing where you will just see him all the time.
Mm.
Like he's so bubbly as a person. He's like so good for branding and so good for going to events and stuff like that. You're going to see him like every other Grand Prix doing something cool, riding a horse or doing some cool Red Bull activation or something. Whereas with Mick, yeah, cool. You might see him around. Like he's got the name and stuff like that. I'm sure they will get him involved to a degree, but he doesn't have that same racing pedigree that other teams are going to look at and go, oh my God, we need Mick Schumacher.
It is a bit of a thing that certain drivers do fall into, isn't it? It's like, I know like Antonio Giovinazzi, he was at the Ferrari launch and he's kind of, I feel like he's not going to get that main seat back, but he's going to stay at Ferrari. I think he's part of their Le Mans project.
Yeah.
He's going to be in that car.
Yeah, Danny Kvyat had the same with Ferrari as well.
Exactly the same.
It's not like they're good drivers.
Yeah.
But when you've got that constant stream of F2 talent coming through, it's really hard. Like fair play to Nico Hülkenberg because it is tough to then get back in again.
Yes.
I think the one thing that helps really is that Haas don't really have like a junior system or anything. They don't really go, oh cool, let's just nab this specific F2 driver.
Yeah.
Because they don't really have links like that. where Sargeant, Williams Jr., you know, Alpine have got loads of juniors, Red Bull loads of juniors, Ferrari loads of juniors, even Alfa Romeo have got Thierry Pourchaire.
Yeah.
So they're not going to go, oh yeah, let's go get Danny Kvyat back because they've got a new, young, exciting
they'd
driver.
They'd rather take a punt.
They can actually build a brand on for long term. So
it's not impossible because like Alex did it, you know, Alex was out of the sport and went to that reserve role at Red Bull and like the test driver. The same role that Mick's doing now is what Alex was doing. And Alex put himself front and centre and got a shot. And now he's an established F1 driver again.
So the right opportunity just has to come about. And obviously, it's kind of peak. I feel like if Audi were coming just 2 years earlier, that would have been perfect.
Yeah.
2026 is a long time to wait. Like, because he'd have to be out of Formula 1 for 23, 24 and 25 to then come back. And I feel like by that point, there will just be someone that's a better option for Audi to go. Like, 3 years is a long time in Formula 1. The grid will change like a decent amount by then. You'll have a whole new generation of F2 drivers that you can choose from.
Audi's a really good point, actually.
But it's an option.
Yeah, because we've got 2023, 2024, 2025, right? So we've got three full seasons before Audi officially entered the sport.
Yeah.
They've already started buying up that team, but there's obviously the new engines will be from 2026. So we've got three more seasons of these current engines with these technical regulations kind of as they are. And I do wonder, they've got Joe and Bottas, which is, you know, in terms of potential. Like, I think Joe's done a really good job. Has he shown the kind of, you know, rookie season that a Charles Leclerc did? Like, you know, George Russell did at Williams. No. It's difficult to rate George Russell at Williams, but like, or a Sebastian Vettel at Toro Rosso, or Lewis Hamilton at McLaren. No, he's done well, but you think with a big marquee like Audi, I wonder how drivers are considering, because I think Joe's contract is up at the end of this year. I think Valtteri's got an extra year.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously those things can change. And like, you know, I talked about this in my, I think there's a chance Bottas isn't in that seat next year, unless he does a really good job this year.
Yeah.
I do wonder, how compelling like a driver, say Lando saw an opportunity.
Yeah.
Because he's still then having to wait a good few years for Audi. And just because it's Audi doesn't guarantee him success.
So it is new regs by that point, though.
Yeah.
So I guess there's at least...
But it's mainly engine.
Yeah.
So engine's the main thing.
It's not going to be like a flip everything upside down.
No, aerodynamically, the cars seemingly are going to stay broadly the same.
Yeah.
So I just wonder if it's worth that gamble when there's still three full years.
Yeah.
Obviously, Seidel has... It makes sense from a team principal or CEO point of view because you need 3 years to actually set because you're not just driving the car. You're like managing everyone.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's like, it's a very different challenge and I think you need that time.
I think I would be surprised. I mean, I'd be very surprised if the lineup by the time we get to Audi is Valtteri and Zhou. I think that is a lineup that is absolutely fine for now.
Yeah.
1,000,000%. I think Guan Yu Zhou was impressive at numerous points last season.
Yeah.
More than I thought he was going to be. I'm not going to lie, like, no offense, Guan Yu. I thought he was going to, because of the F2 record of like, he's always kind of there, but not really there enough for quite a few years. Like for me as an F2 driver, you've got to win F2 or at least come second in two seasons. And he didn't do that in four.
Well, that's
why I was
kind of accepted.
Yeah. That for me is like, right, you're going to be an exceptional driver. You're actually going to make like an actual impact on Formula One probably. Right. And he didn't do that. I was like, oh, okay, fairs. This might be a bit of like a filler, whatever. Mm. Like, I'm very happy we've got a Chinese athlete in Formula One. That's groundbreaking. That's cool. Shame he hasn't got to race there yet, but we move. But it genuinely impressed me. I was actually really surprised. And Valtteri obviously offers a lot of experience.
Yeah.
He's a talented driver in his own right, even if he got beaten around a bit at Mercedes. I think that's a fine driver lineup for now for a team like Alfa Romeo. But if they want to be optimistic and they want to be... I can't think of the word right now, but if they want to be optimistic, I guess, when they become Audi, they can't obviously have a lineup like that.
I guess that's where it's difficult, isn't it? Because you look at junior formula and it isn't a level playing field like it's perceived to be, like it is if you race F2 cars in the F1 game. Like it's not actually a level playing field. There are a lot of nuances to it. You need a good team. There's a reason certain teams are often successful. It's not just because they get the best junior talents. Like,
and there's a reason why Prema win F3 every year, lads. Okay, it's not because of the drivers.
No.
I mean, it is partly, but the drivers are good, but like, yeah.
But they know how to set up the cars. They know, like,
they get better engines.
Yeah, less mileage on the engines and all that kind of stuff. So there's those factors as well. But look, again, you look at a driver like, so for example, 2018, again, like Alex finished P3, Lando finished behind George, like De Vries was close, and you had, I think it was, Artem Markelov was like right behind, you know, Latifi. I checked, Latifi won a race. So Latifi, like in 2018 in F2, he there was one race where he beat George, beat Lando, beat Nick De Vries.
Yeah.
Like, cool. And it's like, but then we saw the drive that we saw in Formula One, who clearly, you know, he had his day, but wasn't at the level. And it's like, you look at Joe, and yes, his F2 career didn't light it up like, you know, George or Leclerc or whoever, but he has clearly got ability and he's got talent. I don't know. I just think it's an interesting quandary for any drivers, especially
certain drivers that just adapt as well, by the way, to F1 really well. Like, you know, there's certain drivers that can just drive certain cars better than others.
Some people just better in Le Mans hardware than they are single seaters than they are in touring cars than they are in,
so,
but who knows. Anyway, right, okay, let's talk equal machinery.
We've talked about what should be equal machinery. We've got,
if only, that would actually be nice.
That would bang, man. That would actually bang. I think we should have one season of F1 equal machinery as well, by the way.
Do you reckon?
I reckon 2026, sack off the teams. Well, no, keep the teams. Sack off the cars, go boom, right. Listen, we've got one stock car. We're going to make 20 of it. For this season, we want to know who the best driver is on this grid. Boom, let's go.
That sounds like starting a reasonably priced car.
It does, actually, to be fair. But no, I mean, as in they all race against each other. There's 20 of these cars on the grid. But for that season,
stars.
For one season alone, the cars are actually the same.
Stars and extortionately priced cars.
Yes.
Rolls off the tongue.
Yeah.
All right, well, producer Lewis has given us a best driver at defending category.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
And, well, I mean, I feel it's a bit unfair because you've literally got the Mexican Minister of Defense.
Oh, what a man.
You've got Checo.
Checo Perez.
And I've got Kimi Raikkonen.
Oh, okay, so are we talking about them just from a purely defensive standpoint, or are we just talking about their careers?
Yeah, it's just like as a big centre-half.
Big centre-half at the back post. Get that one clear, mate.
Best driver at defending. I'm going to make you go first because...
Fair enough. I think I went last.
I think there's more recent examples of of exceptional Checo holding the fort.
Holding the fort down.
Yep. All right. Ready?
All right.
Go.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, in his own words, Max Verstappen just wouldn't have the championships that he does now if it wasn't for Sergio Perez. That Abu Dhabi 2021 defensive display, my goodness gracious me. Yeah, on old tyres with a seven-time world champion, Lewis Hamilton, bearing down on him. Unbelievable defensive display to keep him behind for like a decent amount. Was it like over a lap? Was it like over two laps or something?
It was like a couple laps.
Yeah, a couple laps, man. Lost the guy about 7 seconds in total. Verstappen was right there with him over that period. We had obviously Turkey as well, again keeping Lewis Hamilton behind in tricky conditions. Again, I'm pretty sure on aging tyres in comparison to Lewis's fresher ones. The guy somehow manages to like multiply his car's width by about 4. It's crazy. He's the ultimate like second fiddle. He's the ultimate backup dancer, yeah, in making sure that Max has the easiest. Oh shit, okay, I didn't realize I was gonna run out of time. Fucking hell, I thought I was on like 40 seconds. Shit,
that shows you believed in it though.
I did, but
you got carried away.
I did get carried away. I was like, oh my, I just couldn't think of words. Deserted me for a lot of that, to be honest with you, but
it happens, man. It's happened to me many times.
Ministry of Defense. All right, let's go. Let's have Kimi Räikkönen then.
Bosh. All right. So Kimi Raikkonen did an exceptional job defending against his teammate Antonio Giovinazzi at the Portuguese Grand Prix when he just drove into him. And then earlier on in the season at Austria, when Sebastian Vettel attempted to pass, he also drove into Sebastian Vettel. However, we're not talking about then. We're talking about
defend
prime.
By any means possible, by the way.
Prime Kimi Raikkonen was the man to take it to Michael Schumacher during his glory years at Ferrari when he was at a McLaren. Kimi Raikkonen in that McLaren was absolutely like one of the, in terms of prime periods, I think you take that Kimi Raikkonen within that, in that McLaren around kind of 2002-03 is one of the most competent, quickest F1 drivers of all time in that moment for sure. And it's completely overlooked because of, you know, you look at the championships and Schumacher, and you forget the stories that go on off away from that. That's a minute done.
Yeah, man. That was good. I rate the fact that you started the first 20 seconds by completely destroying him for no reason. Yeah, that was bold. I like it. Contrast, though.
Yeah.
Because then you went into the...
This is storytelling.
The positive arc.
This is storytelling, Niren. This is what this is, okay? Okay, I'm telling you, I'm painting a picture because a more recent memory of Raikkonen, and we talked about this kind of like with someone like Kubica, who, you know, we both are like very underrated.
It's recency bias.
In prime.
You know,
of course. And yeah, Kimi did, you know, he wasn't, you know, covering himself in glory towards the end of his F1 career, but it's very easy to forget just how good Kimi was.
That McLaren era was crazy. The only reason like he didn't fight for more track because McLaren just blew up all the time.
We remember when
405 times it just used to just literally blow up every third.
You remember
at
Nürburgring when the wheel
flew off. Like, oh, come on, lads! Like, what more can he do?
There's so many.
Because he was young then. Because he went straight He like skipped out like half the junior categories, no, to just go Sauber.
Yeah, he was like just Max. Like, he was like illegally young.
Yeah.
They like tried to block him from coming in because like, he's too young.
Did they have Sauber super license points back then?
No,
I feel like he was part of the reason why they actually started that.
I think you're right. Yeah,
because they were just like, oh yeah, cool. Formula Renault, boom, into Formula One, and everyone was like, lads, he's 12.
Kimi was so good.
Yeah, I mean, he was elite.
But I guess from a defending point of view, I'm sure there's plenty of prime examples of Kimi Raikkonen defending, but none are really coming to mind. I remember his out and out speed.
Yeah.
But I mean, from a defensive point of view, did you mention Turkey as well?
I remember, Turkey, when they had the white Red Bull.
And he went the other way around that bollard.
Yeah.
On the
Yeah.
That was quality as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Checo is like, from that kind of spatial awareness point of view, which is actually quite interesting because he did clash a lot with Ocon when they were teammates.
Yeah.
So he can also choose not to be quite so.
I was about to say, I feel like it's a choice. Yeah, I feel like that was a choice sometimes because he was always clean in the midfield coming through as well. Like in his Sauber days, I don't remember him particularly being that problematic. I know he clashed with Button like maybe like once or twice, but I think that's because he was, you know, really trying to prove himself at a big team he was going for it a bit, you know, maybe a bit too much as a youngster. But as he matured, I never really saw him involved in that many accidents that he caused at all. So yeah, I think the Ocon stuff was a choice. I think he was like fed up with this young French Donny. I'm going to squeeze him a little bit.
Was it in Singapore where he like, or was it someone else? I can't remember if it was Checo. It kind of pretty much drove into someone.
Yeah, Sergei Sirotkin. I think
that
it was. Yeah. That was actually Checo.
That was very naughty.
That was ridiculous. That made no sense. I was like, bro, what are you doing? Took him out of the race as well.
But no, I think in terms of defending,
yeah,
I can't, like, I would say Checo. But in terms of out and out pace, I think
Prime Raikkonen was crazy.
And that's no disrespect to Checo at all, but Prime Raikkonen was a problem.
Prime Raikkonen probably wins a championship in like any other era.
Oh, mate, definitely.
Any other era.
Yeah.
Unless he was like not at Mercedes during the hybrid era.
There's but so like, many stories of drivers like that, isn't it? It's just if things had fallen a little bit differently.
Yeah.
Then, was it like if Alonso scored like a single figure number more points over the course of his career at the right times, he'd have like so many more championships.
Yeah, it's nuts. Yeah.
There's so many examples of that.
Yeah. It is crazy. Just in terms of like what what team you end up at what points or what team is dominant at that stage. Like, that Ferrari was just unbeatable for like 4 years. So that just immediately wipes out 4 years of potential winning the championship.
Yeah. But that's beauty of sport, isn't it?
It is. It is. There's heartache. There's brilliance. But there's always Sergio Perez defending.
There is always Sergio Perez defending.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. I believe in the Minister of Defence, to be honest with you.
No,
we'll check around it.
And I really hope that he finds a way to close that gap this year.
Yeah,
because I think he needs to. He needs to find a way.
He kind of has to. But it will sort of drive home to me, if he doesn't, that no one can.
That Max is just that.
Yeah. Well, not that no one can, but...
It takes something very special.
Yeah, it's going to take... Like the next best driver also being at Red Bull, for that to be the case, and obviously that won't happen. You know, you're not going to see Charles Leclerc go to Red Bull, but it's going to take. So it would. That's what it would tell me is it's going to take a level of that sort of driver, or a George Russell or something, and being in the same team to close that gap, which is wild to me.
The reality is, it's like when we're comparing these drivers, it's so much more complicated than we all make it out to be because, you know, we don't have the understand. We can only know so much as fans.
The data and how their driving styles match the car and all this sort of
stuff. But even like last generation, you had the short wheelbase, high rake Red Bull versus the longer. So the Mercedes was a longer car, like physically longer and lower rake.
Yeah.
And that would inherently make it a more stable car so that, when you are near the edge, it is more controllable and it's probably easier to get to the extremes, whereas the Red Bull is a bit more agile. So therefore, if you're trying to get to the extremes, it's going to be a tough challenge. It's going to be tougher than an equivalent, you know, long rake.
Yeah, exactly.
So then that's where, you know, Gasly and Albon are going to get kind of thrown to the walls because Max is just, he's just so adept with that style. But yeah, I just hope, because Checo said, he's been quoted saying, you know, he's been working with the team trying to find out kind of how he can get that car more in his operating window.
Which
is clearly still very high.
Yeah.
But I just, I worry, especially with Ricardo loitering in the background as well. That's got to be playing on his mind.
Yeah, it has to. Because I feel as with Daniel Ricciardo as a backup driver, it's like, yeah, mate, it's going to do or die.
And you know Daniel, that's the thing, Red Bull know that Daniel's style fits with their style because I don't think their style has fundamentally changed because Newey's been there for, no, donkey's years.
Obviously the car's changed. It might be a tiny bit suited more to Max, but it's like ultimately it's the same sort of like...
The philosophy
is the same.
But
if you played for under Pep Guardiola 5 years ago, you'd probably still fit now.
Probably.
Get me?
Probably.
So I always bring things back to football. I apologise, lads. The people that don't watch football are just like, who's Pep Guardiola? Don't worry about it.
Converting you. But, right. I think we should wrap that, mate.
I think we should, indeed. That's been a sensational episode of the Last Lap Podcast. Make sure to like and subscribe if you're watching on YouTube. And if you are listening on Spotify, if you're audio-only crew, give us a 5-star rating. Where else can they check us out this week?
You can check us out on scuderiaalfatauri.com. You can check us out on billionaireboysclub.com.
Yes.
See a BBC jacket over there.
Yeah.
Very nice. You can check us out on your tablet.
You can watch us on your tablet.
You could do that.
If you want to watch us on the Yellow Pages, then you can do as well. Shouts out the Yellow Pages. You just open the book, it's just there. It's like a flip book. Each frame from the podcast is in the Yellow Pages.
Genius.
Say less. Cool. We're there as well. Ladies and gentlemen, we are looking forward to more car launches and testing soon come. Okay. Yeah.
Two more. We've got the Mercedes tomorrow. We've got the Alpine Thursday. And then that's it.
And then that's a wrap. We've got all the cars.
And then testing, baby.
Oh, testing, baby. All right, cool. Well, check us out again next week. We'll bring you all the juicy stuff from the Mercedes launch and Alpine launch as well. And look ahead to testing. Until then, adios.
See ya.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.